us in some love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiampi tatiampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Something that I've looked at a lot over the years, and I'm looking at it again, that one of the most effective ways that conditioned mind can pull Let's see, I'll just talk about this. I pull my attention to places I don't want it to be is through, I don't know, that's one of the pieces I'm exploring is what is the umbrella, but it seems to be like administrative work, like computer tasks, things like that.
So one of the ways that conditioning can pull your attention to places it doesn't want to be, where you don't want it to be, is through administrative work or computer tasks.
Yeah, and as I say that, actually, I don't think that is quite the category because it's, so what I watched was, let's see. Okay, I know. Like when we're on retreat, there's one thing to do. I mean, it's funny, really, because there's 6 trillion things to do, but there's one very clear overarching thing to do, support the retreat. It's not confusing, it's not, you know, it's very, very, very busy, but it's not on, it's not really, well, anyway, maybe I could reflect on this.
It's very busy, but it's very clear that there's just one thing to do, which is support the retreat. So there might be a trillion different things
within that,
but that is the one thing that is there to be done, is support the retreat.
And in that, everything else falls away. I don't, mentally, I give it no attention at all. So, you know, an example would be what, you know, so we were on retreat, I don't know, whenever that was, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and so the bridge walk is coming up. Great, good for the bridge walk. You know, I mean, it's almost like it's none of my business, even though I'm the one who's going to, quote, make that happen, who's going to orchestrate all that and do everything that needs to be done with that during a retreat week isn't going to happen. And there's no question about that. There's no thinking about that. There's no energy that goes there at all.
So there's no question about that. There's no thinking about it. No energy goes there. It's just that's not the time to put your attention on that.
Yeah. And you know, I'm actually seeing very clearly as we're talking why it's coming back up, because we had a period of time of, I don't know what, 3 months like that. That's just all there is to do is put your shoes on, get water to drink. I mean, see if you can find a time to go use the facility. You know, just like very, very clear. I enjoy every moment of that. I really, really, that's very supportive. And now, I mean, I definitely, earlier on in practice, I could suffer mightily with that. Get angry and irritated and tired and upset. And I love that now. And it's funny because it's almost flip-flop now. Now, it's as we transition and aren't as busy, then it's like all that, everything else rushes in, I guess. And there's sort of the sense of like, get it all done now, quick. Suddenly it's all urgent, all the stuff that before it was like, I wasn't even giving any attention to it at all.
Mm-hmm. So suddenly everything went. Before you weren't giving attention to it at all, suddenly it's all rushing in and it's all urgent.
Yeah. So I just watched that as I'm inquiring into it, it feels like the suffering is in not being where I am. Mm-hmm. That I watched it yesterday. So there was a little bit of space that I hadn't really anticipated. Mm-hmm. And again, it was that like, okay, we can get on top of it, you know? Like, all the things, quick. And what I watch is with each one, the attention is not there on that. Mm-hmm. It's on quick, finish that, because then you could get through, and it really is, I think, in that kind of you language, mm-hmm. kind of that's being pushed. Uh-huh. But the part that, because it puzzles me. I'm like, why do I fall for that? And that's the part that's so interesting, is that I think I get identified and think, yeah, that's me, and I'm going to get on top of that list, and then I'm going to feel good. Mm-hmm. And really, it has nothing to do with feeling good. In fact, it's just the opposite. All it is being pushed. And at the end of it, guess how I feel? Pushed. Mm-hmm. I don't feel on top of anything.
So seeing how that, there's a distinct you voice that comes in.
Yeah.
you could get this done and then you could get that done and not really being present to what even it is you're doing right in that moment, because there's whatever the next thing is that you could get on top of. And so looking at how what happens is getting identified with that person who thinks that she'll get on top of things and feel good, but instead it's just having the experience of being pushed, and then that's the experience that you're left with, is being pushed.
What I'm practicing is pushing, being pushed. I'm not even practicing getting things done, quote-unquote, you know? Because, of course, the miracle that happens, especially on retreat, is, wow, how did all that get done? Because there's just a sense of, to sound cliche, but it really feels right that there's no I there getting it done. It's just so obvious this is the next thing to do. There's no thinking about it. There's no thinking about the next thing or the last thing. There's only this, and then this, and then this. And then at the end of the day, it's like, wow, that was amazing. But in this other place, it's constant evaluation and assessing and planning and unpleasantness.
Experience of being on retreat, it's just there's the next thing to do and the next thing to do, and not any sort of planning or just being with what is right there. The next thing is clear that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And then in this other circumstance where there's a lot of that planning and looking at the list of what's there to
going back over. Now how are we doing?
So that the one experience is there's really no I there. Mm-hmm. Doing it is just there's the next thing presents itself, and at the end of the day, a whole bunch of stuff gets done.
Yeah, and you know, as you reflect that, one of the big clues is that so during the the retreat times, if someone says to me, you know, oh, could you go, the answer is immediately sure. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. Because there's a sense of, I mean, assuming that request is within the, you know, context of supporting the retreat, oh, if that's the next thing to support the retreat, great. Because it's clear that that's the priority. Mm-hmm. And there's no sort of irritation like, you interrupted my agenda. Mm-hmm. Where in this other place, it is. It's like, you asked me to do something. No, I don't want to do that. I have this whole, and I have like an hour and a half of tasks to do in 45 minutes. You can't add one to that. You know? So it's clearly this agenda of I, whereas the other place is the agenda, if you will, is the retreat, which is the place that serves all of us, including this being.
That one, the agenda is the agenda of the retreat, and the other one is an I, an agenda.
To make me suffer is the overarching agenda. So anyway, that's helpful. It's increasing my willingness to do things to irritate it. You know, to just do this one thing fully, mindfully, maybe even slowly. And I don't mean in that, like, I've got a can hand to chop the carrot if I'm going to be present, but just more in that, do it with, put everything else down, do it with both hands, and then there, when that's finished, we'll see what's next. So the attention on this, whatever it is in front of me, instead of the attention on the list, that's what it is.
So putting your attention on this thing in front of me, instead of having your attention on the list. And just an increasing willingness to irritate that system that was pushing.
I'll commit to reporting back.
Okay. Thank you.
Penny? Boy, that's familiar, that just was described. What I was looking at is, for me, a real place where patient gets me is planning. And a couple things I've seen about that. One is that it especially likes me to try to plan during meditation. And there's a way in which it's fun. That's why it's so seductive. But often when I actually then go to do the thing, I don't do it like that at all.
Yeah.
And I get that the planning was just its own exercise.
So seeing that planning is something that comes up during meditation. invitation, and it's seductive because there's an element of fun there. And but what you've seen is that when you actually go to do the thing, you don't do it any way like the way that is planned. So seeing that planning is its own exercise.
Or even if I do it the way it was planned, I do it because in that moment it makes sense to do it that way. It wasn't really because of the planning. And if there's helpful, I'm also saying that if there actually is something helpful about what it is I'm going to do that would come up, it will drop in. You know, as we talk about, it'll drop in. I don't have to do anything with it. I don't have to noodle it. It'll be there when I go to do that. So that's another thing I've seen about it.
But if there is something helpful about what it is that you're intending on doing, that it'll just drop in, and there's no need for noodling or thinking about it, and it'll just be there.
Another thing I saw recently that feels like a really important distinction is, so I was in this world, and there's this to do, 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 and then what, you know, what am I, part of the planning is what am I going to do first, what came up for me was, if I can receive all that as abundance, it's really very pleasant. It's really okay. If I get into it as overwhelm, it's misery.
So if there are a number of things that need to be done, if you can see it as abundance, then it's all okay and it's pleasant. Mm-hmm. But if you see it as overwhelm, then it's misery.
Yeah, and it's my choice. And I really got, because the truth is, I like to do lots of different kinds of things, and lots of different kinds of things interest me, and that's what I'm stuck with. That's either my misery or my joy. And whichever it is really up to me.
So that's either your misery or your joy. You like to do lots of things and lots of different kinds of things, and so it's really up to you.
Yeah. So, and it's particularly acute at the moment because I'm currently a single parent and, you know, bachelorette. And so the things that normally get divided in the household are not going to get divided. And so I was watching this morning, it felt like what was coming up was kind of a way of looking at it that would be not urgent but effective. And that was to simply kind of hold in mind two or three things in the course of the day that I want to make space for. I want to be sure there's space for it. And then maybe just to say, well, then I'll do this one first. But not go any farther than that. You know, just there's a space, there's a space, there's a space. And then when I enter that space, that's what I'm doing. And just really focus on that and really let those others go. And not get into the going through the index file one more time of all the things I have to do this week or whatever. That felt like a way of approaching it where I can stay and I love to do this, I really like to do this, this is really interesting, and I can do it all, and that's all I'm going to do.
Okay, so approaching the day, keeping in mind two or three things that you want to create space for, and then not going any further than that, just you want to create some space for it, and then when that one space comes, then you put your full attention on that one thing.
Right.
Not going through the index of the rest of the week or the rest of the day even.
And I'll report back too. But I have this image just came up which I want to share because this feels related actually to both things that were shared this morning. A couple weeks ago, we were taking a hike and we had to cross a stream. And so there was a series of rocks and a bit of a jump from rock to rock. And I had this moment, I mean, you know, it was kind of thing where it was like, I'm not sure. And I had a moment of going from rock number one to rock number two, literally in the middle of the space, where I was absolutely, totally focused on where my foot was going to land. That's all that was going on. And it was completely clear to me I was going to land solid. There was nothing to worry about. It was going to be fine. And I think it was a moment of complete attention. And that's where I want to live. And in any given moment, that's possible. And to land, I mean, it was just so clear to me that I was completely okay.
So in that moment between the first rock and the second rock, just having your full attention on where your foot was going to land, and feeling completely okay that you were going to land there, and from, and realizing that that's how you can live, that's the place you can live.
And by the third rock, it was gone. But because of my experience on the second rock, I carried with me just knowing it would be okay. Do you know what I mean? It was that I don't think that focus was still there, but the experience of having had it was still there. And it carried me through the rest of the rocks, which also feels like a place to live from. And what I, another way of seeing that is that's the experience of being home. You know, absolutely at home. In this moment, in this place, in this being, mm-hmm. nothing else going on. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, I have this moment, in this place, in this being.
Yeah. So I'm going from my task, like this task to this task to this task, could be like crossing those rocks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
This has been really helpful. I could just give it everything that was shared, and. It was reminding me of the Transform Your Life quote this morning. I honestly don't remember what it was, but it was something about our constant thinking is our conditioning, mm-hmm. is, you know, karma. Mm-hmm. And life is being in this spontaneous place without mm-hmm. the block, without the preconceived notions about how things are going to turn out. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, you know, it's like, I had that feeling yesterday with the guidance day, too. It was just, you know, I know there's lots to do, but it was like, it just goes away. Mm-hmm. The same as with retreats and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, those experiences are more like improv. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have that many thoughts mm-hmm. about how things are going to, in a certain amount. Uh-huh. About how things are going to go, but it's just the, you know, this thing is happening, it's unfolding, I'm part of it, and you kind of just have to be there to go with the direction mm-hmm. it's going. And
so this thing is unfolding, and you're a part of it, and you have to be there to be present to where it's going, and how in circumstances like that, in friends, they are a retreat, everything else just goes away.
Yeah. Whereas when I go to the computer, I have all kinds of beliefs mm-hmm. about how this is, or any other, like if I get a list of things to do, mm-hmm. it just kicks in. I have all kinds of beliefs about how it gets done, and mm-hmm. you know, what the end result's going to be, and it's just, the improv just goes away.
The improv goes away. And yeah. All these beliefs come up then yeah. about how it's going to get done, what the result's going to be.
Yeah. It's just, it's, you know, I really appreciate the conversation this morning and opening that inquiry up. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think that's kind of an interesting place to look at. You know, when I read the book this morning, it's so good to look at. What are those thoughts that just come around mm-hmm. just constantly that somehow I think have something to do with me and you know, contribute to the quality of my life, which obviously they don't. Kind of along those lines, I guess, is that I felt like yesterday I had a lot of time behind the wheel of the car. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of the time counting my breaths. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I hear heard a lot about the gap between breaths mm-hmm. and inhalation and exhalation. And I just felt like yesterday I really had for the first time, just really a sense of that, mm-hmm. you know, that place where, and I think it was supported by Ruth the other night, sharing during that exercise where she captured our attention and then mm-hmm. took it away and, you know, and just watched that space open up. And so I just had, on the heels of that experience, I just had more of that sense of what that's like, that place. And just like conditioning just goes quiet for a moment. It's just spacious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. practicing with counting the breath while behind the wheel, we're able to have an experience of the gap between the inhalation and the exhalation. And heard it talked about before, that you had a real experience in the sense that that location was caused by.
Yeah, it just felt like a beacon.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Here.
and it is that place where there's not a lot of improv place. Mm-hmm. You know, there's really not a lot of thinking about how things are supposed to be going. There's no thinking.
Yeah. So it's that improv place where there's no thinking.
Yeah. So I was thinking of saying now, well, okay, I'll figure that figured out. I'm going to do that. and I just had this funny image of after that, it's like, you know, the guy is like standing on the runway with all these, you know how those people direct flights with the lights and everything. He's like, that's why I have to, go through that beacon, you know? And it's like, you know, sometimes I'm in that little plane going, wow, wow, staring around circles on the runway, trying to figure out
which way.
But it's there, you know. So just keep practicing, and so I'll get my altitude.
So really having an experience like that you can. Alex.
She's on the runway. Because like I'm in the air trying to like, so there's that experience. And I was relating to the part about everything being an improv. It really feels like that is the case a lot of the time. I saw it particularly clearly yesterday when I was, it's funny to have whole set routine about how things are going to go and being put in familiar circumstances where it's like, well, of course I would do this first and then that second and then this third. But when you're given something brand new that you've never done before, or at least new sets of things anyway, and I watch this process that happens and I'm just like really fascinated with it because it was almost like one of, it felt like learning. And it's funny how learning then gets co-opted by conditioning at some point into, well, now that I've learned that, I'm going to do something with it, my Molly. And, but it was fascinating to stick with it and to keep learning as it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So it's watching a process of being in a set of new circumstances, or at least new things, and how it's different from when you go into a situation where you've done it before, so you have a sense of what you're going to do first and second and third. But in this case, it was an experience of learning, and then you also saw how conditioning wants to come in and take that learning and come up with what you're going to do with it.
Yes. Like, there's this, what I really enjoyed about it is this one person who was here for a while as a monk who would talk about learning something and just getting really completely captivated by it. And I felt like that's what was happening on some level. And it had these window frames with plastic on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the job was pretty straightforward. Take the plastic off.
Mm-hmm.
Take the screws out of these things that are holding the little corners on that are holding the frame together, and then there are little plastic bits that remain once you cut out the, you know, the centerpiece of the window that are still stuck to the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll try to get as much of those off as possible. So it was really fun to, like, the first time I did it, it was like I just took it apart, and it was just so awkward. Like, you had these sticks up in the air to kind of cut the little pieces of plastic off, and this part's falling off over here, and it's really completely unwieldy. And so it's just interesting, like, as I kept doing it, I kept having insights about, like, oh, if I don't take it all apart first, then I can get the plastic off the center part, you know, easier. And so, okay, sure. So I did that first. I just, like I was stealing a painting from a, you know, museum. Right off the frame, you know. And that was good, because it was like, and it was reminding me of like cutting open a tofu container. You know, you have to put it in one corner, slit it this way, go to the other corner, because if you go to this corner, it will kind of tug on it funny. And so I was like, it was really neat how I was like applying stuff that I learned someplace else into this task. And then I still made the mistake of unscrewing parts of it, so that was just this unwieldy, like, you know, just four things, and it's like, wow, the next time around, what I can do is I can, you know, cut little slits off of the, where the nails are for it, and so like, the plastic is now loose, but it's still held together instead of on these separate, anyway, what I was really fascinated about the whole thing was that, this is applicable everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, huh? I wonder what it would be like to do that, do this. And I've been practicing with it in just about directing the attention, because that's really been my focus for a while now. It's keeping it all back here, and I'm just trying to do new things that I've never thought about in terms of approaching that kind of activity.
So, excuse me, in this work segment, you had a number of these to do, and so with each one, you had insights about a way to do it that would be more effective, and then applied that to the next one, and so forth. And so what you saw was that process is applicable everywhere, and so you've been looking recently at directing attention and looking at how you can apply the same process to directing your attention.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throughout that, and I was going to tell a story about how that showed up in another test I was doing the other day. That it was. Just something about it was it was so joy-filled, and it had nothing to do with, you know, it was like if a conditioned mind would come in and analyze it, and it did, and it came in afterwards, it's like, what, you know, it's like you didn't do anything today, you know, it's like it has this way of kind of blanketing over everything and say, you know, you're really wasting your life. And I was like, well, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean exactly? How am I doing that? And if, you know, because there I was caring for what it was I was doing, I was enjoying myself, I was learning something. Like, well, you know, you need to learn and care about other things that are more important. And I started to list all those other things that were more important that I should be caring for. And I was like, no, I can't. I texted the guide about this. Like, I tried to reassure that, you know, one process does not lead to another, and it's not, you know, it's not content. It's it's process. And so, like, I'm caring about that. I'm having experience of caring. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't really enjoy that at all, and that's okay. I saw what it was trying to do, and that's how I was applying. Learning about, you know, that it will come in. I know to look for it. It has particular times it wants to come in, and it has particular ways that it wants to direct my attention, and to set myself up in such a way that I'm ready for it and it tries to do whatever it does.
Mm-hmm. So seeing how conditioning wants to come in, and it will come in, and you know to look for it, mm-hmm. to come in and tell you that if you were caring about this, then you should be really caring, applying that to caring about these other things that are listed by the other ones were.
Yes.
And what you were saying was one process doesn't lead to another, and the content is actually irrelevant, and you were having the experience about caring about what you were doing, and having a joy-filled self-help. It was just trying to take that away
from me. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just one last thing about setting up something that I learned about, like these reminders that I do for myself that basically are around about things that I do around the place, and just to make sure that I do them, whether it be part. It's funny how it's like I could hear it right over here. It's like, I can't believe you're going to say that you have a reminder to take a vitamin, but I even have that because it's very satisfying to put a little check mark next to it that I've done that. What I've done is I've set up a reminder to do something that I've been constantly bamboozled out of doing, only because now I know I'm going to do it, and it falls around this time, and it's a time in which there's a lot that comes together at once. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's amazing how there's like spacious amounts of time, and all of a sudden there are several things that overlap over on top of each other at one particular point that have to be done in this kind of like very efficient way in order to make it happen. But I've set up a timer or a reminder in this one spot where it's like, it goes off and it's, I have to do this thing at that time. Mm-hmm. And boy, is it is really the most useful thing I've ever done, because I see everything that has come up for me that has stopped me from actually doing it in that moment. Like it'll even after the reminder comes up, I will still hear it. Like, well, yeah, but after this, you know, after this, you're really too busy at this moment. Boy, it's just been a tremendous practice to apply that kind of learning that, like, nope, this is where you get me all the time, and that's where I've set it up so that I can get my attention back where it needs to go.
You're setting up a reminder for yourself for something that you have been bamboozled with in the past.
Just day after day.
And seeing how, with that alarm going off, that this is the time to do it, you can see that it still comes in. And so what an effective practice tool that's been.
Yeah, I'm just laughing because that alarm will be there even if I don't have to do this any longer. This task is gone. Just so that I'm just going to do it because it's been so helpful to do it that even if I were never, if I was like someday, you don't have to ever do that again. It's like, by golly, I'm going to do it. Just because I've seen so much through doing it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm looking at something. Let's see how to say this. So it has to do with kind of attending to. It's kind of the idea, let's see. So what I got myself into kind of, you know, back home, if you will, was a really nice situation where I felt like I was making a transition where instead of kind of attending to myself by looking outwards to kind of another or others, if you will, I don't know if I'm going to explain this right or not, but as opposed to attending to myself kind of through the illusion that what looks after this person is kind of how I show up with other people. Transitioning away from kind of that and into more of a direct, kind of a direct looking at what would actually be essential. You know, kind of the essential needs or kind of the real caring of or the real caring for, you know, this person, myself.
So looking at attending to and making a transition from attending to yourself by looking outward and looking at the ways that you show up from the people, and more turning the attention more directly to internal and what would essentially take care of you.
Yeah, exactly. That was great to hear. It's like the example I was thinking of was for my particular karma, it's so easy to kind of look towards, say, like a partner, a girlfriend, and to kind of, have that sense of what looks after me is kind of how, kind of like turning the keys over in a way to this person by, you know, if I can just be the right way, if I can just be, you know, and I think it, the content is irrelevant. Kind of, it could have been my parents when I was young. It could have been like, you know, school. You know, I was just experiencing. I was in a relationship, so that was kind of what was there. And now it's that sense of, like, I've stepped back a little bit, and I was watching how, in the last number of months, the last, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I've really become much more in tune with, like, almost like taking the keys back. And attending, really attending to kind of what's needed in here.
So, looking at how in the past you have essentially turned the keys over and as a way to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But actually turning the keys over to someone else, and in the past few months you have been taking those keys back and really turning the attention inward into what we take care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it definitely is an illusion in the sense that, like, it's never really turning them over to that which is outside. You know, that's kind of the way it's presented to me. Mm-hmm. But of course, really, you know, the information I'm receiving to do that, mm-hmm. of course, is coming from up here. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody out there is saying, you know, kind of whatever little drama games I'm trying to, you know, whatever standard I'm trying to reach, that's going to promise the right, you know, feedback, which then, you know, gives the illusion of taking care of me. All of that information, you know, clearly is coming from conditioned mind. Yeah, so that's kind of a component to it.
So that you're being taken care of externally is really an illusion that all that information is coming from conditioned mind, whatever mm-hmm. those standards are that are being presented that will take care of you. It's all that information is actually coming from conditioned mind, so it's internal rather than external.
Yeah, exactly. And so what I was looking at kind of this morning as other people were sharing was, in the past, you know, the monastery, kind of, you know, kind of coming here, that was also kind of a process that I would do, kind of unconsciously in a way. It's like, you know, whatever degree I was kind of practicing and taking care of, you know, this person, the needs and stuff, as soon as I kind of got onto monastery property, there was just that sense of like, okay, I'll turn the keys over now to, you know, the, you know, kind of the structure, or you know, if not individuals, kind of just like the overall kind of sense of being here, and kind of having that symbolically represent, you know, mom and dad, maybe as a kid, teachers or school system, society, you know, girlfriend, you know, it all fits in that sense of, okay, well, they're in charge now, and of course, again, the information is not that nobody out there is saying that kind of thing. Yeah, it's kind of being projected from conditioned mind. But it's that real sense of, okay, I'm here, so now I don't really have to do anything for this person, because, well, clearly, there's a structure, there's a system, there's a way we do everything, there's, you know, there's guidelines, there's, you know, whatever the kind of whatever conditioning is kind of setting up is like the standard. And so there's an absence of wanting to attend to anything that would really, really care for me.
So we've seen that same process play out coming to the monastery, where essentially you turn the keys over to the monastery, the structure of the monastery, and in a way not need to do anything to take care of yourself, because you would be taken care of by the structure and the way things are set up here, and looking at how to, in this case as well, take the keys back and look inward to see what we take care of you.
Yeah, exactly. That it was really occurring to me this morning that's kind of the opportunity I have, in a way, on this retreat that I'm here for. So it's that sense of, you know, kind of being fully aware that there is a bigger community of which, you know, I basically align with. You know, I'm here and I'm participating and I'm, you know, in support of the community, and, you know, it's kind of that giving and receiving constantly. So there is that, the participation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very different than the way kind of conditioning sets it up,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, its version of participation is, you know, they're in charge. You know, something outside of me is the authority in some way or whatever. And so I was just kind of looking at all the different ways of which I could attend to kind of the essential needs, the energetic needs,
mm-hmm.
in here,
mm-hmm.
while at the same time being fully engaged, if you will, quote unquote, out here,
mm-hmm.
while on the retreat.
So looking at ways that you can really attend to the essential needs inside and energetically, and the other needs that would take care of you internally,
mm-hmm.
while still fully participating externally as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and of course the internal external quotes in the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, but. It feels pretty exciting on a lot of levels. You know, as I said, the last like maybe 3 or 4 months, just got into this, maybe for the first time, in this lifetime, really getting into the type of relationship I really always wanted to be in,
mm-hmm.
right here,
mm-hmm.
and just really, you know, kind of really turning a corner, if you will, in practice, one that I couldn't like define or, you know, articulate per se, but just something shifted,
mm-hmm.
and really kind of moving into that space of like, wow, this is the, you know, like this is my life, and the my would not be kind of like the I, if you will, like not ego my, but so much as like, I don't know how to describe it, like it's just a like an ownership in a way,
mm-hmm.
but life had the keys. I don't know how to say that exactly, but...
So just really having a shift in the last few months and having the sense that this is my life, but not in the I, the sense of the I, but
yeah.
But what I was hearing in that is the authentic being.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's it. That's a really nice way to phrase it. Yeah, there was an authenticity,
mm-hmm.
that was never present that I... Well, it might have been present, but I wasn't present to receive it, if you will. There's an authenticity that arose that was just kind of intrinsically a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that there wasn't kind of like, you know, the usual kind of opportunities, challenges,
mm-hmm.
you know, joys, you know, everything mixed in. It's just the way that attention was able to stay here,
mm-hmm.
and kind of aware of what, moment by moment, what the kind of more essential or more kind of energetic needs were.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to be kind of taking ownership of, you know, how to meet those needs.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of enthusiastic about that, excited,
mm-hmm.
about that,
mm-hmm.
and not kind of unconsciously scanning for who is going to do that for me.
Mm-hmm. So instead of unconsciously scanning for who's going to do that for you, to really take ownership of meeting those needs, and also to look inward and see what those needs were.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I feel like that's kind of the, that's another, this will be another opportunity to practice that in an arena that, you know, conditioning would love to kind of say, well, that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great, you did that. So now, but here is very different because,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I just wanted to bring, I kind of wanted to, you know, expose it and get it out,
mm-hmm.
there and really practice with that for the time that I'm going to be here,
mm-hmm.
and really just keep it in my awareness that both of those kind of forces are going to be at play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, karma, conditioning is going to want to do its thing,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, there's this other experience that I have, you know, kind of as you reflected there, kind of less the authenticity,
mm-hmm.
and just to kind of be, you know, kind of be aware that,
mm-hmm.
of what's there. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So keeping in your awareness that both of those are going to be in play, that egocentricity is going to be with such a karma conditioning, is going to be doing its thing,
mm-hmm.
and that there's also this other experience that you have now gotten to know over these past few months that you would like to bring forth in the monastery and continue to practice during this. Stay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Thank
you.
Thank you.
Susan.
So
I'm going to borrow the key analogy because I like it. And what I was thinking about, you know, I have my new awareness, not new, I don't know how new, re-awareness of it's all me. It's all me. So what I was looking at is, was being pointed out about the keys, and really it's not them anyway, but is that I give the keys to conditioning, to existential karmic conditioning. So I have that same movement that I always thought was about them, and then I realized it wasn't about them, but I tried to believe, you know how back and forth ego can go to convince me that it really is them, and if they would just, you know, do it right, approve of me, not approve of me, you know, just the whole thing. So the movement is give the keys to ego. And what I find too, I've been practicing with that attention, you know, all the attention back on breathing. And I actually was a tennis player as a kid, so I like the tennis analogy, paying attention to the ball and not winning. You know, the goal is not to win, the goal is to hit the ball. I really like that, what she said the other night, because I know that feeling of standing there with the racket and watching for the ball. So I've been doing that with the breath, and I've been fascinated to see how hard it is to do it with that kind of intense attention like I can muster. So for me, I can muster that kind of attention if there's a lot to do, it, like it's being pointed at. So what I don't need to stop at
that. You can muster that tension when there's a lot to do, but you're like difficult. But you've been taking as practice to turn that kind of attention to the breath, the kind of attention that you would turn to the ball if you were holding a racket and
yes.
playing tennis.
And when my attention is not on the breath, what happens is I give the keys. You know, I like that because when my attention is now on somebody who's evaluating the situation. So rather than all the attention on the breath. So my example is last Saturday and this Saturday. Last Saturday, this soccer season. Last Saturday, I left at 7:45 and I did not get home till 6. And, you know, I've got this game and I've got to get this snack and I've got to go to this game and I've got to get this person home and then I've got to get that person in the bath and then you stay here and I'm going to go there. You know, there's just like this, no time to think about it today. No time to indulge egocentric karmic conditioning. Because there's so much to do in the moment that calls me forth to stay right here. And there is so much freedom. I actually enjoyed it. But if there's only 2 soccer games, I am vulnerable to, oh, God, you know, it's too hot. I can't stand this. Why do we sign them up for these things? You know? And so it's just interesting to, for me. So then this Saturday, we didn't have it because it's Labor Day. And I'm like depressed. I'm overwhelmed. So I go to either 2 things, which is get up and start ordering everybody around. All the things we have to do and feel bad about all the things we're not getting done, or get overwhelmed and just not be able to choose. And it's fun. No, I don't know fun. I can't really go with fun yet. But it's because we were guided to practice with that same intensity with what is in the moment. So I wake up and there's nothing to do. How can I put my attention with the same energy as when I wake up and I must get out of bed and get shoes on and make breakfast? And, you know, and I think it's just fascinating to practice with. And for me, the way it goes with this link of handing the keys over is that initially, when I would come to the monastery and train, I would hand the keys over in the same way from 2 different places. So sometimes I would just trust because I'm here to trust. You guys know more, you know, the people. But then there was also this handing the keys to ego and projecting onto Phil, who was training me, that she's, you know, out to get me. And so can I stay here with complete attention on the breathing, in my case, without blaming anybody out there, and go into the day, even though there's nothing concrete that's going to hold my attention initially. Can I just practice with making that muscle stronger? I took from whatever.
So. So can you practice with, if waking up and there's nothing, nothing particular to do, to have that same intensity, that same focus, and keep your attention here and keep the keys?
Right.
Keep hold my own keys. Not turn the keys over to ego. Mm-hmm. On a day when you're not required with this moment by moment things that need your attention, like last Saturday with all the day-long soccer games and everything that went along with that. So on a day when there isn't that to practice, can you keep your attention here?
Yeah, and as you were reflecting that, I might do this little reminder thing, because what I could do, what I always thought until just this second, is that what I would need to do is wake up and then just make a schedule for the days I have off. Mm-hmm. But what if my schedule was just every 10 minutes the alarm goes off to remind me to come back into the moment, mm-hmm. to see what's next? Uh-huh. Because what ego does to me is it takes all the fun out of my life. Mm-hmm. So on a day that I actually could maybe even go do something kind of fun, mm-hmm. It doesn't allow for it. It's not on its list. You know? It's just not on the list. What's on its list is to continue to tell me how there's so much to get done that I'm never going to get done, and torture me about it, mm-hmm. and make me feel overwhelmed or depressed or anxious. Anxious is really my number one thing. worried and discombobulated, you know. So can I, instead of going to those two sides of the duality, can I make my focus of attention to stay here? And I might even make some keys for me, because I do that. You know, I hand it over. Here, have my life, and then I'm a victim. You know, just, but I think I'm handing it to them, of course. My husband's going to be so relieved, because when I come to group nowadays, I just get it that it isn't, I can't, you know, it's unfortunate. It breaks the whole manipulative thing that can happen between partners. If I really get that it's only me. You know? I'm like, oh, okay, I can't blame you anymore. There's like a freedom in it. And it isn't in the same way, it's not ego. It's really just keep them right here. Hold them gently but closely, and keep the attention on one breath, you know, top of the inhale and exhale. And then that's what's required.
Mm-hmm. So holding this keys gently but closely. And imagine the idea of setting a timer rather than waking up and setting a schedule, mm-hmm. to set a timer, and the timer would be a check-in to bring you back here.
Yeah, I think I'll try that, because I still have one more free day tomorrow. So I'll report back to you.
I don't have an alarm, but I have to use two cats, and occasionally three cats, but I'm busy at something, and the cats want attention, mm-hmm. boy, that's a tough one for me, and because I experience it as an interruption, mm-hmm. as an irritation, actually, and so one thing I've been doing is using it as an alarm. So when the cats present themselves, and you know, Chris, they have no schedule, and so it really is a random alarm. But I've been using it as an occasion to say, where am I? Am I here? Am I here? Am I here? And then to take the time to pet them and attend to them. It's a great practice. Uh-huh. They like it. and I'm finding it a great practice, because I can't outsmart it. I can't predict it. Mm-hmm. It truly is a random alarm. Uh-huh. So. I hope it will affect our relationship positively, but besides that, it's a good alarm.
So it's a great alarm for coming back and checking in. So that in the past that you experienced as an irritation when they present themselves and want attention, and it's completely random. And so you've been using it as an alarm to check in, to see where you are, and to actually take the time to stop and have them.
And actually, when I do that, I realize I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. And they are no longer just an irritation.
June.
I have two cats. They are intrinsically, actually, in reality, irritating.
Intrinsically, in reality, irritating. Can you say better?
I would like to be able to experience them as random, uncontrollable reminder to come back to the present and focus on something other than me and what I want to be doing now. Because I don't have a lot of that. I listen to people talk and it's interesting to live along with every possible material thing that a person could want and more. And practice with being a person who lives that life, because it's real easy to get into my God, you're selfish and narrow and isolated and some of those kinds of adjectives. But it's just those voices are just like anything else that work with the guys in this too. Not the weed flat. And it is a good reminder that generosity is a good thing. Have a lot. You can be generous. Well, it's not gonna exactly destruct your life. I was actually going to talk about less, and yet I talked a little bit about it's really not about content. We're seeing that, and the week has been really interesting and had the voices that battered me about what I enjoy doing and just how my days go have been quieter. It's quite enjoyable. It is frightening. And it's like being set up. I don't know if that's a story, if that's just part of the setup. I don't know. It is what it is. I'm being told, yeah, we're just laying in the weeds over here until you get confident and do a thing that's really unacceptable. And then we're going to come back in like the hordes of marauders or something. It's just all a big story. But it, you know, it kicks in. Thank you for the story.
Thank you for the story.
So what I hear you saying is, I've been using that all week. So what you want me to do is, and here's what I should be afraid of. And it's fun. It's actually kind of fun.
Thank you. Thank you all.